So how many of you have heard someone say this? Everything happens for a reason. Maybe, I'm guessing most of us in here have actually used that expression. You've either said those exact words or you've said something very similar to it. And then when we say that, when somebody says it to us or we say it to someone else, or maybe we even say it to ourselves, we do it as a form of reassuring ourselves, of comforting our. Notice nobody ever says, well, everything happens for a reason. When you win the lottery or you get a raise or something really good happens in your life, we always say that when something difficult, something challenging, there's a loss, there's a pain, there's a disappointment. We say that because we want there to be some sort of meaning to that difficult thing, to our life not going according to plan. When we lose a job or an important relationship goes sour, or the dream home that we've put a deposit on and we're in escrow on it falls out of escrow and doesn't go through, or the owners of the building that looked like we would move into as Summit Church change their mind and back out of negotiations. We love to hear expressions, either just like everything happens for a reason or something that makes us feel that way. Tony Robbins, who's very successful, very wealthy, seems to know what he's talking about. He's very inspirational. He says this: everything happens for a reason and a purpose, and it serves you. I like hearing that. Or we read the story of Brittany Bergender, who battled for a very long time, almost her whole life, a crippling, almost near fatal eating disorder. She fluctuated at her smallest and lightest at 56 pounds, all the way up to 220 pounds. Now she's a motivational speaker. She's a coach who helps others overcome their struggles. She says this: everything happens for a reason, whether it's something you're excited about or not. It's all for a purpose in the big picture. So enjoy the process, knowing it'll be used to make you stronger in the long run. Sometimes certain events are necessary in order for a grander opportunity to cross our paths. I like hearing that. Even Mike Tyson, who's not known for his profound ponderings or sage wisdom, says this: God lets everything happen for a reason. It's all a learning process, and you have to go from one level to the another. I like hearing that as well. That's all comforting. It's all reassuring. It's all inspiring for somebody who's trying to make sense of why difficult things are happening, why their life feels off the rails. We say everything happens for a reason because what we're really saying is we want to believe that God is making that happen. We want there to be divine value and divine purpose and divine cause, because if we can accept that God is at the center of this thing happening in our life, then we can sort of just go, my work here is done. I really don't need to investigate further. I really don't need to learn anything else. If God is in control of this, if God caused this, if everything's happening because he's the reason it's happening, then I just need to sit back and trust him. Drew Barrymore, who's now a talk show host, but for a long time an actress, who is in her earlier life was known for making some really bad mistakes, some really poor choices in her life, said something I think is noteworthy. She talks about everything happening for a reason, but there's a twist, and I think she's on to something. She said, I believe everything happens for a reason, but I think it's important to seek out that reason. That's how we learn. You see, everything absolutely does happen for a reason, but I don't think it's the reason we think. I think we ought to stop blaming God every time something happens. Because the moment we think that God is the cause of this, we stop the opportunity to learn maybe there's another reason this happened. Grab your notes if you don't already have them out. Sometimes the reason my life gets derailed is because, number one, the world is a broken machine producing broken things. The world's a broken machine producing broken things. So, a few months back, I shared with you that I was going to have to make some difficult decisions in order for us to secure a strong future for the church. And that for the first time in 16 years of leading the church, I was going to have to make decisions that would impact our staff in order to make our budget more solvent. And that I would have to reduce hours of staff members, and I would have to impact the positions on our staff in order to do that, and that Lisa and I would be the first to step into that change, that I would begin to look for something outside of the church in order to provide enough income that I could take a meaningful reduction of salary from the church. And the same with Lisa, that I would reduce her hours as well as eliminate my assistant position and the office manager position. We would eliminate some of the services that we receive outside of the church that help us just run the day-to-day things, and that it would impact everybody on staff in some way. And we started moving that direction, and we started making those changes, and positions were affected, and it started looking really dire, really, for me especially. I was getting very discouraged because I was finding that it was going to be very, very hard for me to find any sort of part-time work somewhere, do anything outside the church that provided any sort of real financial relief, any income for us that I could then take a cut from the church. It just was beginning to look like that was never going to happen. And then an opportunity came as I was sitting in a meeting with our outgoing treasurer and our incoming treasurer, and I started having this conversation, and we got talking about, you know, I said, maybe this is the time I start a business. You know, I've always had these kind of wild ideas about different business. I won't go into those, but I love them. I'm in love with my dumb ideas. And I thought, you know, why not risk a bunch of money on a dumb idea? This sounds like the perfect time to do that. And we got talking about something else, that my friend was considering buying a company that had been in town here for 16 years, a carpet cleaning company. The owners were moving away to Tennessee, and he'd been working with them as their number one client for his property management. And it just struck something. I thought maybe that would be an opportunity. He was reluctant to do it. He had enough on his plate. And I said, well, how about we both do it together? And that progressed into bigger conversations, which then progressed into us actually moving forward with that. And I really believe that it was a blessing from God that this opportunity would allow me to continue to pastor the church and have not a large impact on my ability to pastor the church, but it would also provide meaningful income so that I could take a meaningful cut from the church. And it also provides Lisa an additional job so she can take a meaningful cut from the church. And then you want to say, well, look, everything does happen for a reason. So if somebody said, do you believe that God was in that God wanted that to happen? I would say, absolutely not. No. I don't for a minute think that this, where we're at, the reason we had to do all that, had anything to do with God. I think that about 3 years ago, COVID happened. And when COVID happened, people started getting sick and we didn't know a lot about it. And then people started acting like they had completely lost their minds on all sides of the issue. Across the planet, And then the government acts like the government does, and they're incompetent, and they're dictatorial, and they just overreact, and they do the things that they do, and they set into effect a financial pandemic that we're still feeling the effects of. And along with corporate greed, we now have inflation like we've never seen before. And more importantly, the church, instead of being a city on the hill, shining its light to a world who was hopeless and desperate and scared, and we could have been the grace and the peace and the hope of Christ to the world, instead the church weaponized the Bible and weaponized church and weaponized the gospel in order to take a political position and begin to strong arm people and begin to force its will on people. And then people who thought, I want nothing to do with that, moved away from church. Those who wanted it to be a political battle abandoned churches like ours that said, that is not what church is about. That is not what Jesus is about. This is not how the church should behave. They went and found themselves a church that did act like that and did behave like that. And then those who were marginal in their trust of God to begin with their finances, said, because of inflation, I would rather the church be struggling than me have to struggle myself or give up my kid's $2,500 soccer camp, or not do 3 Starbucks a day, or not have 11 streaming services, or whatever. And so we all make decisions in this all this broken context in which we land in moments like this, and we live with the consequences of living in a world that's broken, that produces broken things. That's why we're here. That's why we had to go into a business. That's why we had to reduce positions, not because God was in it, but because people do broken things all the time in a broken world. Now, I don't want you to interpret that as me being angry. I've come to expect. Now, I was super, super disappointed during the pandemic, super hurt, super angry, super confused. I just thought, I never thought in a million years would we be here. But I learned how truly broken all of it is. And that on this side of heaven, we're never going to see a time in which a broken world produces perfect things, not even good things for that matter. Listen to what it says in 1 John 2:15 through 17. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out the love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all of its wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out, but whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. The reality is that there's nothing happening in the world that you should be investing your heart, your mind, your time, your energy into. It is not the direction of the tracks that you should be setting in your life. Listen to what Jesus Himself says in John 18:36 as He's standing before Pilate. He wants him to understand that the way He does things are not the way the world does things. He says, "My kingdom does not belong to this world. If it did, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jewish leaders. No, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom." It's super important that we understand that, because you and I tend to go to broken machines to get perfect results. We want to vote our way into a moral world. We want to vote our way into a God-centered world. You will never get a broken kingdom to produce godly results. Someone asked me on Tuesday after a meeting, "Hey, are you headed to vote?" And I said, I don't vote. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying I don't, because I can't for the life of me keep it separated. I can't go in there and not put my hope in my vote. I can't go in there and not put my hope in a bill or a politician or a change that I'm hoping will move us towards the kingdom that God wants. I can't do it, so I don't do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just saying I can't, because I can't believe that a broken system will produce the good things that God wants. Colossians 3:2 says this: don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what's going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. If you look at the world and you focus on the world and you concentrate on the world, you're going to think like the world. But if you focus on Christ, you'll think like Christ. So, number two is this: sometimes the reason my life gets derailed is because I'm always crashing into others who are off the rails. Romans 3:23 says something really important that I think is a really good reminder for all of us as we start our days. Everyone has sinned, and no one measures up to God's glory. Let me paraphrase it if I can. You and literally every single other person in the world is missing and will continue to miss God's perfect plan and purpose for your life and their life. And because we are all, to varying degrees, missing God's plan, we will be then living with, to varying degrees, the consequences of missing God's purpose and plan for our lives. So when we intersect with one another, we are bumping into other people who are living off the rails of God's purpose and plan for their lives. Now, there are some people who are happy to lean into their sin. There are some that are happy to lean into the dysfunction and the moving away from God. They actually press the pedal. They want to go harder and faster into the derailment. And the Bible is clear that when we intersect with people who are intent on doing things other than God's way of doing them, that's going to have a profound and negative impact on our lives. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this: don't let anyone deceive you. Associating with bad people will ruin decent people. You and I intersecting with people whose lives are set on moving away from God, if you align yourselves with them, if you follow that, you are going to end up with the same sort of consequences that they do. Now, it's super important we pause right here. There's not one of us who's righteous, who's good, who's perfect. On our own, we are without any righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is nothing you can do on your own that produces any righteousness. So none of us has reason to be self-righteous, smug, arrogant, feel we're better than anyone else. So none of us gets to inoculate ourselves from the world, try to hide away like I see a lot of Christians want to do, get away from this dirty, bad, horrible, sinful world. That is not the role of the church. Listen, Jesus, who was perfect, who is righteous, who is holy in every way, who is absolutely perfect, his whole purpose for coming to the earth was to be among the worst of the worst. Jesus, in his righteousness, pulled close to those who were unrighteous. So you and I, even if we're growing in righteousness, aren't supposed to grow away from the world. We're supposed to grow closer to the world. But to be the influencer and to be the influenced are two totally different things. That's why 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this: don't become partners with those who reject God. How can you make partnership out of right and wrong? It's not partnership, that's war. Is light best friends with darkness? Does Christ go strolling with the devil? Do trust and mistrust hold hands? You have to know who you are. You have to know what your purpose is. You have to know the direction you're going. And when you do, and when you move in confidence towards God's will and plan for your life, you become the influencer. Because one of two things is going to happen. You will either have to move people off your track who are interfering with your ability to do that, and that's fine, that's their choosing. Or people will begin to align themselves and follow you. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul just said what he said right there, and now he says, so imitate me watch my ways, follow my example, just as I too, listen, always seek to imitate the anointed one, Jesus. Paul says, I'm on track following Jesus. You can get behind me and go my direction. You can hook on to my engine, right? I'll pull you along. I'll be with you. I won't isolate you, inoculate myself from you. I won't eliminate relationship with you because you're unrighteous. Just what I'm telling you is I'm going to follow Jesus. And if you're going to follow me, know that you're actually following Jesus because that's who I'm following. Number three is this. Sometimes the reason my life gets derailed is because I follow my heart into places I wasn't meant to go. You ever heard the expression, play stupid games, win stupid prizes? I like that expression. It's kind of a fun way of saying that if you're going to do dumb things and make dumb choices, you're going to live with the consequences of those dumb choices. The only thing good coming from stupidity is what you win from doing stupid things. You're not going to like those. And so for the purpose of our conversation, when we find ourselves off the rails in our life, we have to very much consider everything does happen for a reason. And sometimes the reason is that we do stupid things. Everything happens for a reason. That's correct. You and that stupid decision was the reason. No, what I mean is, I just want to believe that God has me in the place. You think this is where God has you? You think doing things God's way, or doing things the stupid way led you to the same place? Why would we follow God at all then? I hear people say, I wouldn't change anything about my life. I wouldn't change it. Even the mistakes I've made, I wouldn't change anything because I am who I am today because of that. Do you know who you would have been if you hadn't have done that though? How much better things might have been? How much different you might be? I'm not telling you you're worthless as you are. What I'm saying is, that you don't believe that God had something better for you than having to go through all the dumb decisions and win the dumb prizes? That you don't think God could have gotten you to a good place without all of that? You know, there was almost 4,900 train accidents in 2023. There are almost 3 derailments per day in America. Railway incidents account for almost 1,000 fatalities per year and 6,000 injuries per year. Let me tell you the 3 top reasons for train accidents. Number 1, human negligence. Number 2, human error. Number 3, reckless pedestrians and drivers. So let me say this. My point is that people, not malfunctioning machinery, not broken equipment, not glitchy technology, not bad weather, not a stray cow on the tracks, not faulty tracks, not invading spaceships, none of those things are the 3 top reasons why trains get derailed, people get hurt, and millions and millions and millions of dollars of destruction happen. It's because people. And do you know why people make so many mistakes? Is because we've been taught to trust our hearts. We've been told to trust our hearts because your heart wouldn't lead you astray. Your heart knows what's best for you. Trust your heart. Follow your heart. Your heart knows what you truly, truly want. You're going to find happiness. You're going to find peace. You're going to find contentment. You're going to find satisfaction and success when you follow your heart. The problem is your heart is almost always wrong. Always wrong. Listen to what Jeremiah 17:9 says. A human heart is more dishonest than anything else. It's more dishonest than the devil. It can't be healed. Who can understand it?
Yee.
I was following my heart. I gotta trust my heart on this. No, you should not trust your heart on this at all. Ever. I've shared this statistic with you before. Studies show that almost 90% of the decisions we make throughout the day are not based in reason or logic, but are based in impulse and emotion. We are not thoughtful, reasonable, logical, prayerful people. We are reactive and emotional, and you should not trust your heart. The only way to get your heart to be trustworthy is to completely eradicate everything about you that's in your heart. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 18 through 19. But the things that come out of your mouth, your curses, your fears, your denunciation, these things come from your heart. And it's the stirrings of your heart that can make you unclean. Now listen to this. For your heart harbors evil thoughts, fantasies of murder, adultery, whoring, fantasies of stealing, lying, and slandering. That's all in your heart. Nothing happens out here that didn't first happen in here. And you know that when we're talking about your heart's simply a muscle that pumps blood. It's the innermost part of our minds. That's what's in our minds. Selfishness and hatred and bigotry and meanness. I saw someone this week who I once believed was a genuine, passionate Christian. I can't judge their salvation, their right standing with God. That's certainly not my place. What I can tell you is their heart is wrong about this. They quoted a scripture from Deuteronomy. And it was underlined with highlighter. And they posted it on Facebook. And it said, outsiders from outside your country will come in and they'll take more, and they'll have more, and you'll have less, and they'll overtake you. And they were using it as bigotry towards immigrants. And it was that kind of irresponsible. That was talking about a curse that Israel would be under for their bad behavior. That God said, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You did all this. This is what happens to people that do that stuff. Invading countries will take over. You'll have less and they'll have more, because that's what you do when you don't play by the rules. When you don't do it the right way, that's what happens. They were using it as a tool of hatred and bigotry. And that's the problem with following your heart. Your heart does a lot of dumb things. It says a lot of dumb things. It believes a lot of dumb things. But we believe it so much in our heart. We're so convinced that we're right. Can I tell you this? That the Bible over and over again says, don't trust your thoughts. Let God lead you. That's why in Romans 12, 2, it says this, don't change yourselves to be like the people of this world, acting like them, thinking like them, making decisions like them, behaving like them, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You'll be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect. You know how to get on the right track? Stop doing it your way. Start doing it God's way. Stop thinking like the world thinks. Stop behaving like the world behaves. If your post and somebody from the world's post looks a lot alike, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. The world's just being the world. You should be different. If the salt has lost its saltiness, the Bible said it's good for nothing else but to be trampled on. Church, if we have lost our effectiveness and our ability to lead people towards the hope and the grace and the mercy and the peace of Christ, then what are we? What is our purpose here? Is it to be the harbingers of punishment and wrath and judgment for the world? We were never called to that. It's through the gentleness of the drawing of the Holy Spirit in us. Somebody asked me this week, kind of a new believer, and they asked what I thought about demon possession and these deliverance pastors that are out there doing their thing. And I gave them my thoughts. I reassured them that a follower of Christ, a believer, can't be possessed by a demon, because the Holy Spirit and an evil spirit can't possess the same place. They can't reside. Jesus himself said, "A house divided cannot stand." So we know that the Holy Spirit will not subordinate to an evil spirit. So that evil spirit has to subordinate to the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit would drive that evil spirit out, right? But I do wonder, though, how so much evil can be in us and us claim to have the Holy Spirit in us. How much hatred, how much judgment and condemnation, how much bitterness, how much meanness can reside in us before that becomes demonic thoughts and demonic behavior? Can a demon spirit possess us? No, but demonic behavior certainly can. Because sometimes I see people who claim to be followers of Christ and claim to have the love and the grace of the Holy Spirit who act more like the world than the world acts. And that's heartbreaking. That's disturbing. Yeah, everything happens for a reason. Everything does happen for a reason. But in the words of the prophet Drew Barrymore, you should look for the reason. Because you can learn from that. God, I think, is tired of being blamed for why we're where we're at. It's like, I didn't flip and have anything to do with this. How did I get dragged into this? Everything happens for a reason. Thank you, Lord. God's like, what? You lost your house and your job? Because it wasn't because you weren't showing up for work and you were stealing staplers off of everybody's desk. And wasn't that? It was me? Okay. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Nothing spiritual about that at all. This is literally a practical moment for you to just zone out, hopefully everything else and everyone else, including me. And maybe just for a second, take a deep breath and just say, I want to be alone with you for a moment, God. And I want to hear your voice. And I want you to lead me and guide me in a new journey of abandoning everything I want and everything I think and everything I believe, and starting over with the thoughts, with the mind, with the heart, with the grace, with the peace, with the hope, with the compassion, with the tenderness and the kindness of Christ brought to me through the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. God, I surrender to you my days, my nights, my thoughts, my words, my behavior, everything that I am. I want to be on track with your plans and your purpose for me. And I can't do that as long as I'm following other people, I'm following the world's ways, I'm following my heart. All of that will derail me. It'll never be according to plan if I try to make the plan. Help me see the track you've laid before me. Help me lift my cars of my family, my finances, my thought life, my spiritual health, my friendships, everything that I am, everything that I'm pulling along with me, that every one of those cars is in alignment with your purpose and plan for my life. And every day, God, as I chart what that day will look like, I align myself with you first and foremost. I tell my heart to be quiet, that is a place for the presence, the voice, and the mind of Christ. I'm going to take every thought captive and make it subject to the authority of Jesus in my life. And that's my prayer for me and everybody in this room. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.